Welcome to the Lighter Side of the Dark Side. It's your weekly freak show here on Renegade Radio and Spotify, Apple, iHeartRadio, and YouTube, everywhere you get podcasts. It's the Dark Mark Show. I'm Reverend Dark Mark, the goth comedian. And as always, my co-host, everybody's favorite horror writer, Nicole Six.
Good evening.
And Nicole... Nicole actually booked the show because she knows all the cool people in Hollywood, or all the cool people in Hollywood just are drawn to her. And one of the coolest here and is a fashion designer. She works with leather and lingerie, and she's even had Wonder Woman in her pants. It's Natalie Yaru.
Yeah, that's me. Hello.
Is it Yaru, Yaru? How am I pronouncing that right?
Yaru. Either way, really, Yaru is how it's usually I say it. But yeah,
Yaru.
Yaru is good. Yaru.
Like Ja Rule, but Yaru.
No, that's awesome. Yes, let's go with that.
2000s for a reference to how to pronounce your name, but
I was there.
What nationality is that?
It's Romanian.
Okay. All right. Ja Rule is not Romanian as far as I know, but Ja Rule is. So anyway, before we get started, let me go ahead and do the sponsors really quick. This is going to be a fun show already, I can tell. We are still sponsored by Audible. And yeah. Audible is carrying our podcast. So if you go to audibletrial.com/DMS, you can get a free book, access to hundreds of Audible originals, and then you can subscribe to our podcast or any podcast that you would like. I know they have books on all of the famous designers, and there we go. There goes my lights. But they have my lights haunted. Don't worry about it. It's just really weird. There we go. So they have books on anything, everything from Shakespeare to smut, whatever you're in for, whatever you like. And I don't know what happened to my apparently my green screen is haunted too, but that's fine. Audibletrial.com/ this is the worst sponsor read I've ever done. Audibletrial.com/DMS, free 30-day trial, free book, and access to hundreds of Audible originals. We're also sponsored by Doomy's Home Cooking.
Yeah.
Best vegan restaurant in Hollywood. Tell them about it, Nicole.
Well, Doomies has this ability to take things and deep fry them so they taste like meat, even if they're not meat. So if you don't eat for some reason, what?
They're never meat. It's all vegan.
It's all vegan. So if you ever want to not eat meat, you can go to Doomies. You won't know what you're missing out on.
Yes, the nachos were named one of the 10 best nachos in LA, the only ones without meat. Last time we were there, that's what Nicole had. I had the shrimp po' boy. They have a Big Mac on the secret menu. They have
the Big Mac.
Chicken cordon bleu.
Wow.
We're overdue for a Doomies dinner. But go to 1253 Vine Street, where the M Bar used to be, right in that little cul-de-sac that apparently has now been taken over by all vegan restaurants. But don't go to the other ones. Go to Doomies I'm Cooking, 1253 Vine Street, the best vegan food you ever had. And everybody knows I love energy drinks. I'm going to have to have one of these to keep up with the energy of you two. This is the best energy drink I've ever had. I've tried them all. They used to have one that was shaped like a bomb. I tried that. Steven Seagal energy drink. I tried that. They had one that was called Raw Dog. It had already goat weed. I tried that. They had one that was called Buku. It was twice the size. I tried that. This is the best. Better than Red Bull. Better than Rockstar. Better than Monster. It's Raze energy drink. R-A-Z-E. You can't get this 7-Eleven or grocery stores. You get this GNC's, gyms, but don't do that. Don't pay full price. Go to the description in your podcast catcher or on YouTube. You get a coupon for 15% off, courtesy of the Dark Mark Show. And you get a case like I just did. I got a new flavor this week. I've had it before. Galaxy Burst. This is one of their top flavors. They also have Baja Lime that tastes just like Baja Blast from Taco Bell. But this tastes kind of Fruit Loops Skittles like.
Fruit Loops and Skittles, holy moly!
So delicious, and the best part: zero calories, zero carbs, zero crash. So we're gonna sell 100 cases of Raise and no Audible subscriptions based on that ad read. But Nicole, before you started, do you have any trendy things that you want to comment on today?
Today is Earth Day. So yes. I strongly recommend watching the movie Seaspiracy. It is a documentary, which I've been told the numbers are slightly exaggerated, but it's explaining what's happening with fishing in our seas. Like, for instance, 46% of the plastic that's in the ocean right now is actually fishing net from people that just dump it over the side of their boats. So we're overfishing the oceans for the capacity of what they have in the oceans. And we have to be more careful with that because we are the number one predator. So where in the videos they show people just like, they cast these big nets and they just go over these shoals and they have no regard for what they're dragging in with their nets. They're dragging in sharks and all sorts of other stuff with it. And like, they just kill whatever isn't fish and then they sell the fish. So they're just being really careless with our oceans, very wasteful. Not us, it's not an American problem. Although American tax dollars do go to pay to steady out fishing so that the price of fish doesn't become too high. But it seems to be more of a middle of the Pacific problem and they're just overfishing. And they said that by the year 2050, we might not have any fish left if we continue at this rate without letting them have a chance to repopulate.
Oh, wow. So. Then we'll have to go to do me some cooking and hopefully I'll have perfected a fish sandwich by then. Because I know the shrimp po' boy's delicious. So that's weird. I always thought it was like the plastic from the Coke bottles, but you're saying it's just the nets are just, they're not being
careful. Well, there still are plastic that's trash, but 46%, that is an actual number, is fishing stuff. Fishing lines, fishing stuff they cast off the side. They just didn't give a shit. They just did it.
Okay, so the straws, that's all bullshit or what?
The straws are nothing compared to the fishing wire. That's okay. True. Like, I'm sure that it sucks getting them in sea turtles, but so many more animals are dying because of the fishing gear.
Okay. Natalie just did a clever, almost palmy type move, moving herself over to the other side of the room.
It was dark.
Natalie, are you wearing your own fashion right now?
Of course I am. Right?
Look. Yeah, you are.
Oh, wow, that looks nice. Ooh.
thank you. I'm sorry, I flipped because I looked like you couldn't see me. So here I am.
Yes.
Not as cool in the background, but whatever.
The focus is on you where it should be. Now, Nicole, you told me about Natalie. You said she'll be a great guest on the show. Tell us why.
Natalie is a self-made entrepreneur. Her Manam fashion. Or is it Manam? How do I pronounce it? I don't want to pronounce it wrong.
Manam.
Okay. Manam. Her Manam fashion line is all made by herself, handmade leather goods that are incredibly soft. And she makes it all herself. And she's been doing this for years in Hollywood. And she even had her pants on Gal Gadot for the cover of Rolling Stone, the Wonder Pants.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if we should start there or we should start. Because when you were a child, you were obsessed with shopping. Isn't that correct? Natalie?
Me?
Yeah.
I had a little bit of a thing about it. Yeah, I was like, I don't know if it was that I was so obsessed or that my parents just never wanted to feed the beast so that I felt like I was very obsessed with shopping. So, like, probably I was obsessed and I just, like, wanted to shop all the time. I was like, you don't let us do anything else. Can we go shopping? That I had to fight for everything at my house. So like I couldn't go to the movies without my parents. Couldn't go to the beach without my parents. Like I'm not gonna go anywhere then because if I have to bring you guys everywhere, that's lame. As a little kid,
I think we had the same parents. Kid, I'm like, I don't know what happened. I had a little bit of that. My parents were very
yeah. Strict, I mean, I'm not mad. I think I'm good for now. As I progressed into my current self, I'm okay now, but it was a little bit of a rocky road getting here, but it's okay.
So when you were a tweener and you were like, let's go shopping, were you looking for stuff for yourself or you were just checking out all the fashions?
Oh, definitely me. I definitely wanted more like limited tubes shit or something. Or Wet Seal. Anyone recall Wet Seal?
I remember.
My mom was a little about Wet Seal. She's like, yeah, you're not gonna wear that. I'm like, okay, mom, well, I'll go get it when I ever go shopping with my friends without you. And then I usually for myself, and then you know, my friends started doing the wet seal thing and the thong stuff, and I'm like, I can't get any of that. I tried.
Now, speaking of that, now, just a little sidebar. Do you think malls are going to come back?
Oh, boy.
Because, I mean, that's part of your childhood. You remember going to the mall and all the great things and shopping, but you're making faces, so I don't think the malls are going to come back.
Yeah, I was going to say the same, and I make this disgusted face because I'm saddened by the answer that I have, but honestly, I don't think it will be the same ever.
Nicole, what do you think?
I think some malls in areas that are more suburban, they stayed open. But in the main city, no. I think you're in your suburbs, you'll probably still have people who want to go to outlet malls and stuff like that. But in your actual main city, probably not. Like Target is pretty much taken over.
Right. Well, online, yeah, Target, Amazon, all that. Natalie's making another face.
Don't get me started. My face always does things. I'm like, stop it.
I went to the mall at Christmas time. I went to the Glendale Galleria because I figured it's probably the last time I'll ever go to a mall. You know, it was, what, you know, shit, we didn't, that was the pandemic. And so there are a couple, and I, because I, my go-to with the females in my life is, you know, Bath, Body and Beyond, The Body Shop, that type of thing. But I couldn't even, they had lines and I was there like way early, like right when they opened. But there was, the lines were so long, I was like, I can't, I'm not going to sit here wait all day for this. And then, of course,
kind of suburban too, though. So I think their malls will probably do okay.
Yeah, well, I think in the Midwest, they'll still be fine. But and then I went to the Hot Topic, which is now like the Disney store. Like, they just swapped the signs. And, you know, was you know, that's always fun. Being my age, going to a Hot Topic and flirting with the, that's always great. Because my hair was purple then, and she's like, great, nice hair. And I was like, wait a second. Did I flirt? I was just like, thanks. And I walked in. But the same, because I'm a little older than both of you, since they took out the bookstores and the record stores. That's when you could really spend all day at the mall.
Yeah, for sure.
So,
dang.
Anyway. For you, though, because you don't have a store in the mall, so forget it. But you... when you were a kid, like, I guess your first design was cutting up underwear, right?
Yeah, well, when I mentioned about the thong thing, like, my friends started wearing the thongs from Express, and I was like, but Mom, you can't wear regular underwear with these white Abercrombie pants. It's ridiculous. Like, you can't. So I had the white Abercrombie pants, you know, yada, yada. And then I was like, no, this isn't going to work. I'd buy them when I ever did go shopping with my friends, and then I'd stupidly and lazily throw them in the wash, and my mom would wash them, and she'd be like, what the hell is this? Every time. And so then I just started taking, what?
How old were you?
Mm,
when you were in a butt wash, what was that?
13-ish. So then I started taking my little limited two bikini underwears, and I cut out the butts, and then moved the elastics in and made a little G-string. And that was an embarrassing story that I found out my parents told everybody when they got me. but it was funny because, I mean, like, yeah, that's the first things I was making. Probably even before sewing class that I took eventually at some point, but I mean... You know what? Par for the course, I'd say.
Now, what was the first time you were actually conscious of a fashion designer and their look?
I looked through, my mom gave me, probably around the same time, maybe it was because of the thongs, I don't know, but she gave me a little sketchbook and a fashion. Actually, I wonder if it's up here. Damn, it's downstairs. Well, anyways, I have a fashion, like, kind of like coffee table / textbook kind of thing. And I was looking through that, and I remember sketching my first stuff at one time when I was about 13. But honestly, you know, you learned about some designers in like random fit-em like camps that I did. I feel like I learned some stuff, but I really could give two fucks about any designers except Alexander McQueen, to be honest with you. I mean, historically, historically, I feel that obviously Dior and Chanel and all the big heads of fashion just contributed immensely, Tom Ford and all those things. But like, I really could care less because I don't care. I care about the history, but I don't care about the design so much. Like McQueen was RIP, but you can't replace a mind like that, though I will commend Sarah Burton on trying, and she does a damn good job of doing her best. Yeah, McQueen is like the only one as far as I'm concerned. I don't really pay a whole lot of attention otherwise.
Well, I don't know anything about it. What is McQueen, what did he do that nobody else did?
Ooh. Wow. Well, oh my goodness.
I'm into it. I don't know fashion design. Look at me.
I'm sorry. I did not mean to make you feel like that at all. I'm ignorant in my own field. Believe me, I'm the biggest dum-dum of all. And on purpose.
Did you see my Facebook page? I have no style whatsoever. You know that.
Stop. You totally do. Whatever.
Educate us.
And by the way,
I'm not about Alexander McQueen.
I'm not one of those judgy my policy as a designer and fashion stylist person is that if you're comfortable and you feel good in what you're wearing, you did a good job. Because forget about trying to put yourself in something that you hate or that feels awkward. Don't do it. It's like stupid.
I'm glad you say that because I'm wearing a thigh length blazer and red shorts right now. So it's under the table. Nobody could see it. But so I'm very comfortable. But what is it about Alexander McQueen that hit you that the other designers didn't?
I think it was like if anyone gets a chance, watch the documentary. It was a lot of like everything evokes such emotion, and it has these cool, amazing, like innovative shapes that are, I mean, again, back in the day, Dior was innovation, Chanel was innovation, but like, did I just scratch my face and make it red? Oh my God. that was back in the day, but I'd say as of late, like his runway shows were also like bonkers, like garbage fires and cars on fire. And just, he wanted a reaction from people. He didn't care if he pissed them off. He didn't care if he freaked them out. He just wanted to he honestly made ugly topics, bad, scary shit look beautiful through fashion. Like the Highland rapes collection. No, that's not what it's called. It's Highland. Yeah. The Highland rape collection. That's not what the collection's called, but it's about the Highland rapes in Scotland and the wars and everything from his wheelhouse that he had in his, you know, repertoire of inspiration. He put to the audience, regardless of whether it was disgusting or gnarly or just frightening or whatever, ugly, that people will want to turn a blind eye. That's my favorite part about him. People want to just turn a blind eye, even if it's the ugliest truth of all, but like people are scared. They want to ignore it. He's like, actually, here you go. You're going to look at this right now and you're going to partially love it because it's fucking beautiful. But you're going to be freaked out. You're going to be scared. You're going to be whatever the emotion was that he was trying to get at. I thought it was so amazing how he did that.
Is that the emotion you're trying to get out of your designs?
Well, you know, I got to tell you, I do. Runway is very much about that. I got to tell you that lately I have been rather, and not to be discouraging, but I have rather been rather uninspired by trying to do retail design. I mean, if I had my own, if it wasn't how it is right now and I could still be bringing in people, like I love doing custom projects, that's super fun. But retail is a lot of people pleasing and people like basic shit and they don't like to like be themselves. Even if they want to wear that awesome thing, they're like, oh, I'm too scared. Nobody else wears that. There's so many sheeples around. I'm sorry to be a dick about it. But like, yeah. I mean,
You design for like a, I am trying to remember, wasn't she like a beauty pageant queen or something?
Possibly.
Like in 2017, I think. You were designing a dress. And
for the Inked competition. Yeah, that was my friend actually. But you're right. Thank you for remembering that. No, I really love doing that, but like trying to do retail fashion doesn't allow as much space for like emotion and like feeling.
That was what I was going to say. you're so creative with that. That's what really feeds your passion, is being able to create something that's going to make a statement, like Alexander McQueen.
I'll be damned if you're not right on the nose with that one. Yeah, it's like, it's kind of a realization I've recently had, even though I've been, you know, I've been trucking along trying to do the retail thing. And like, I suck ass and I don't even like sales. I suck at sales. I don't like it. I hate it, actually. I really dislike it. I like art. I like creating art. Yeah, exactly.
Artists don't do things for the sales. They do things for the art.
I'm trying, like, all hell to, like, mesh the two together because I need to, frankly. But, like, I would rather be putting all the emotion in. Like, basically what I'm trying to say to answer your question, Mark, is that, like, I wish there was more space for it in retail. I wish there was more space. That is why I have my company, because I want to, like, have some sort of trickle down or trickle back and forth effect where you can put the emotion somewhere and then have it influence the rest. But, like, so honestly, a lot of my first line from Manam was kind of like a, I don't want to say watered down version, but I'll say like a edited version of my first ever runway collection for when I was in school, actually, which was like a baby to me. Like, I literally slept under the tables in the studio for till 4 a.m. and then went home and showered, napped maybe while my friend showered, and then we switch off and then we drive back to school and then go to a film noir class or whatever the hell, which I probably failed, I think. It was like a whole like passionate like experience, and I like was crying at the end. It was like amazing, like feeling and emotion, and you got to put the whole thing together, do the whole process, take the whole time, and just make it from start to finish. Beautiful. I love that.
Right.
So it's not to say that I don't love my designs per se, but it's like the, you have to like make it like this because people don't wear this and people look fat in this and then like everyone just like needs their own shit. Basically everyone needs their own personal designer if they want to be like,
well,
fancy, but everyone just tends towards, you know, basic stuff, I feel, and that sucks. But you know,
you also make
to, you know,
unique. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean
ahead,
to talk
about... No, go ahead.
I was gonna say you make really cool designs for like the everyday person. Like I saw your holster and I want one. Like, it's fucking amazing. It's a purse that's actually a thigh holster, so you can wear it instead of like a fanny pack or something. It's sexy and it's sleek, and I think that that's the sort of stuff that you can make mainstream, and so you can still like have creativity out there.
You're so right, and I'm sorry to be a total negative Nancy about my life right now. I'm not really that bad. I'm just like being honest about it. It's a nice, actually, thank you for allowing me that question, because it's a nice way to express my sort of frustration with the current situation. But you know, I still love creating. I love doing all, like, basically anything creative. I've been actually doing a lot of house projects lately, because this place is my new place is inspired by the Absolute Elix house at the top of La Brea, you know, the vodka brand. And
right,
I was the cleaning lady there one time with TaskRabbit. I was like, holy fuck, this place is amazing. And I was just like looking around, I was like, I have to have this one day. And I'm working on it.
I was trying to get you away from where you were before, because we all have to sacrifice the art a little bit for some commercial.
I know.
I was gonna ask Nicole at the beginning. Now that we're a half hour into it, I guess this is a good place to start. When did you two meet?
2016, I think. And then we were friends through 2017, and then we had a little bit of separation, and then we hooked back up again. But I remember she like tried to sell her clothes at Bar Sinister, and the setup was fucking amazing. But what the thing about Natalie is, she makes clothing that is really good premium stuff. Like the leather, I cannot describe to you how soft it is. Like, it is the softest leather ever. And so these things needed to be someplace. They needed to be on display someplace greater than Bar Sinister. You know what I mean? Like, they needed to be in magazines, which is why when her pants were in that magazine, I'm like, that's what she needs. And then for a while, they were actually being displayed on a Hollywood Boulevard in this like display case. And I'm just like, that's what she needs. She needs like, you need like Fashion Week, big stuff, big, bold things, because what you're creating is so innovative and interesting.
Now,
thank you.
First off, why leather and how do you get leather that soft?
Leather because I actually learned in school when I was just telling you about my collection right before I made my initial fashion collection for the runway, which was like our senior thesis project essentially for school to graduate. I took a shoe design class and that was my first time ever working with leather. And I just like was in love with the process, like how it's not your standards. Like you sew it. Yes, of course. But there's so many other ways to put it together. It just has billions of options. It feels like always there's many, many different routes to make the same cool, awesome looking item. And so that's why I really loved it. Just how you put it together and how you cut it even. It's like way different sometimes than, you know, standard fabric, which I still do love, obviously, but leather is amazing. And I'm trying to align all my sources so that everything comes from LA. I mean, I'm sure they get hides from everywhere. I usually try to get Italian leather hides, but honestly, I also think that I'm a strong supporter of the fact that leather is sustainable. It's a natural material. And if you're not wasting animals and being, you know, outrageously, you know, rude about the process, it's supposed to be like, it could be a really succinct and like, you know, sustainable thing. I mean, honestly, leather lasts longer than every other material that I could. I mean, it's not chemically, you know, it's sure it's dyed and tanned and whatever, but it's a relatively small, I would say, footprint of chemicals and garbage that, and also I'm a fan. I do eat meat still. I eat vegan stuff, but if it tastes good, obviously, but I eat meat. And I think that one day I'll just have a freaking farm and a restaurant if I have to do it respectfully. Like, I think that, you know, if you're going to utilize the animal, it should be not wasted. You should use the meat and you should use every part of it that's possible to make another product or to feed somebody or whatever the case. I mean, I think it's become this really
weird look at it.
What?
I said that's the Native American approach to look at it. Like, you use all the animal.
Like an old school, like natural, respectful process that should happen. I'm sure that it doesn't in a lot of places, unfortunately, nowadays. But if I can ever swing that, I would gladly have the full scale operation so that I can make sure that things are respectfully and sustainably handled, because I really do think it's important, as sarcastic as I just sounded. Honestly, I do. So, I mean, I don't think people do things very thoughtfully much. Not everybody, but I think, okay, I'll say like the meat industry or even the clothing industry. Wow. Like they've thrown a lot of that to the wayside, unfortunately. So I'd like to, my success is contingent. Me considering myself successful is contingent upon accomplishing these parts all together as a business. I'm not going to cut corners, you know?
Well, you do have the softest leather around, and I guess that'll be your little secret, but your pants must be pretty soft because, you know, probably one of the highlights of your designing so far was when Gal Gadot, Wonder Woman herself, chose your pants to wear on the cover of Rolling Stone magazine. That's a big deal.
That's right.
How did your pants get the mix of what she was going to wear?
Hell if I know. Okay, I'll tell you. I'll try to do the elevator pitch version of the terrible story that was before that. It was out of nowhere, and thank goodness, because I needed a saving moment there. I was having a really shitty time with life and hard lessons to learn and a not so great relationship that I was very, very rock bottom-ish. I had actually, I hope you don't mind. Can I get a little deep in here? Is that fine? Is that cool?
Get as deep as you want, please.
Okay. This is a, I'm going to tell you.
There's only tens of thousands of people listening. It's okay.
No, but they really aren't. Our fans aren't judgmental. They like things to be interesting and unique.
Don't want them to cry if I tell a gnarly story. That's all I'm saying. I didn't think that they would. You know, some people get freaked out, but I'm okay with it at this point, and I love to share, actually. So I was in a really bad place. Abusive relationship, and I was rock bottom status, like suicidal-ish. at times. And I lived by myself. Except when this guy was around and bothering me and harassing me, I was afraid to, I had, you know, climbed, I had gotten myself stabilized mostly, but I was still very depressed. And, but I was scared to like get that low again and be alone. I really didn't want to go down that far by myself. And so I mean, for whatever it's worth, it's my life and it happened the way it did. And I'm thankful, but you know, so I didn't know the difference. I think I was going for more like a rehab or something, but I definitely checked myself into the damn psych hospital at Las Encinas in Pasadena. I like 5150'd myself is what happened. I literally drove my ass on a Friday night out to that place. And I'm like, oh, I'll pack some stuff. I'll get some work done. Talk to a therapist. It'll be great. Idiot. I was like, nope, I got admitted. Okay. I didn't know anything what I was about to do to myself. Then we started walking down this hospital hallway. I'm like, what the fuck did I just do? I was like, this doesn't seem like what I meant to do to myself. Damn it. And then the door to the big white hallway opens. I'm like, fuck. I was just like, oh my God, really? I was like, Natalie, damn it. Like, I'm trying to help myself and I just. And so I was, it was an interesting experience to say the least. I was starting to panic at that moment, but I'm like, keep it cool. They're going to hate you if you freak out. So I'm like listening to the rules. They took my shit. They took all my bags, of course, in 5 seconds. I'm in a hospital gown and I'm very fashionable and such, but they're going over the rules and regulations. I'm like, you know what? I'm gonna stop you right there. I think I don't want to waste anyone else's time. I'm going to go because this is not what I meant to do. And they passed me along and this Russian lady's like, you're not going anywhere. And I was like, so I didn't go anywhere, but I grabbed my bags and I walked towards the door that I know is locked. This is a very terrifying experience. And I'm like, I'm just standing there like freaking out in my mind. I'm like, oh my God, what am I going to do? This is going to fuck me up even more. And there's like a bunch of male nurses around and I'm just like, they're threatening me with sedative shots already. I'm like, are you serious? Is that what you're supposed to handle that protocol? You idiot. And then I was like, oh, I think that you're going to have to actually give me that shot because I don't know how I'm going to calm down at this point. And so this is a lot of heavy shit at one time, but I'm okay with it if y'all are okay with it. So here we go.
You're not the first. You're not the first person that has a similar story. Yeah. We might have had your roommate on the show because we have had a former guest 5150 herself and had a very similar story.
Wow. Okay. Well, that feels.
I don't know if you know the comedian Mia Mars, where she was in there with you, but she had a similar story.
And I was in the hospital in 2018 twice for depression, so I don't judge.
And there's no judgment. No, okay. It's better that happened than you kill yourself.
Exactly.
Oh yeah.
It's like it's better to get help than to, like I have no problem saying this on. Listen, error. I took a bottle of pills. I was losing my apartment. I'd already lost my job and I was lost my relationship and I felt on the bottom of the rocks. And so that's why I ended up in the hospital. And, you know, sometimes you at least went to get help. I had to actually try to kill myself to get help. So I find it so much more respectable what you did, even if it didn't work out quite the way you would.
I think there's a happy ending coming around the corner.
Well, there is. This is the happy ending is actually the magazine cover. I swear to God, this is what happened.
Right, that's what I figured.
But I have a few more shit steps in between. So what happened was, I was like, give me the shot. Fuck it. I was like, I don't know what to do right now. And I was like, but you might want to check that with my Parkinson's medicate. Yes, I have Parkinson's. We can talk about that maybe another time. I don't mind sharing either, but I have had Parkinson's since I was 17. You might want to check that and there because it doesn't mix well with a lot of things. And they were like, obviously not checking it because they just dragged me to the cot, threw me on my face and slammed shots in my ass cheeks. I was like, you're welcome for the view, motherfuckers. I was like wearing a thong and stuff. And there's a bunch of dude nurses. I was like, that is so rude.
One of your homemade thongs and or just regular thong?
Damn it. I wish I thought of that before. Your standard garbage thong. And it was red, I think. That's even worse. Oh, God, whatever. Anyways, so I'm out for like 24 hours and then I wake up again. I easily just the same cycle starts up again. Except there's only two dudes this time, and guess what? Natalie didn't want them to take her cowgirl boots, so she headbutted one and kicked the other one, and then got an even longer lockdown for those actions that I took to save my cowgirl boots. So I was that crazy bitch in the psych ward with the cowgirl boots all weekend. Couldn't let go.
You were the one crazy bitch in the psych ward?
But the crazy one with the cowgirl boots is what I'm saying. I didn't want to take them off. I was like, you guys took all my shit. No, this is not happening. So I'm keeping these. So then I got longer locked in. But then, so the shots again. And then the next day, I woke up. I'm like, okay, welcome to Camp Snoopy. Get it together. Figure it out. Let's get out of here. And so, but like at breakfast that day, I started having like I'm kidding you not, like cramping and twisting of my arms, legs, and neck. Like my neck was doing the exorcism shit. Like it was, my muscles were cramping all up. And I asked for Gatorade. And they were,
from the Parkinson's?
Yeah, it actually, the Parkinson's mixed with the Ativan Haldol that they gave me. If anyone listening has Parkinson's, don't ever let somebody give you that shit because it will mess you up. And I finally got a hold of my neurologist and they were like, stop giving her that now, like immediately. So I was like, thank God somebody listened. And so anyways, that was a terrible experience. Not sure if it really helped, but it sure did make me stronger because I'm not dead. So I kid you not, I was wrecked after my mom came and bailed me out of that shit. And I was like an emotional mess, disaster, traumatized, yada, yada. The next morning, my mom like stayed the night with me at my apartment. The next morning I got the email about the Rolling Stone cover. I was like, what the fuck? I was like, no way. I was just like, what? I started crying. I was just like, this is not happening. I couldn't believe it. They're like, we're interested in your line for this shoot with Gal Gadot. I was like, okay. So I started, you know, correspondence accordingly. And I ended up through the process, putting a poll in my studio together for the shoot. And the stylist assistant came to pick it up eventually. And on the day of the shoot, the stylist texted me. She's like, wow, congratulations. Your pants got the cover shot. This is a big deal for a young designer. And carry on, I guess, is what she said. So I was like, again, sobbing like tears of joy for the long process. But it was just such a clutch moment. I was like, so I just went through all that shit. And now this is, I'm like, so good.
Well, that's the universe. I was going to say, like, you were suicidal and then you got handed like the best move of your career. So like, it's good. I mean, it's a fucked up thing that you checked yourself in, but at least you were alive to enjoy the fact that life got so much better after that.
Isn't that great? I love that. I've actually never had a chance to tell that whole story out because I'm appreciative of this venue and you guys having me on here because that's like a dope, I do like that story and I appreciate that, you know, cadence of life, whatever.
That go through like mental health issues. If we can share our experiences, it gives other people hope because my friend asked me this last night, like this was a real conversation I had last night. And she was like, how many people do you think have bipolar? Cause I know so many and like, you're not bipolar, but I am. And I was like, I'm going to look it up because it has to be very common. And it was like 3 million people, 3 million people go from being manic to depressed. 3 million people think about killing themselves every year. Like, that's like a real thing for America. I mean, the world is hard. Yeah.
Definitely. And you know what? Even after that experience, I had other terrible experiences, but I finally ended up in rehab. In between that, I went to jail again. I was a stripper. Also, not a bad experience.
We've discussed this.
Right. I encourage you, for some reason, the show's really getting deep lately. I encourage everybody to check out last week's show with Savannah Pope and have Savannah and Nicole Bond over there going to camps, getting kidnapped and going to camps. So when they were teenagers.
Natalie doesn't know this. When I was younger, I went to, last week we were discussing this with Savannah. We both went to these rehab camps they send kids to where you're supposed to like, they're in the middle of the fucking woods and you're supposed to have like bonding and other stuff, but it's really just terrible. That was when I was in foster care.
Right.
But so, again, the more we can share these kind of experiences and normalize having emotions, basically, these are just regular emotions people have in a world that's so hard to deal with. Like so many people of our generation went to college and have no jobs and have tons of student debt. Like, there's so much real shit happening.
And next week we next week we have Bill Manspeaker, the lead singer of Green Jello, who performs on stage in a puppet head. So I'm sure he has some trauma. But Natalie, what I wanted to know is how the stylist found out about you and how your and your fashion got in the mix.
I couldn't tell you, Mark. I know it's a disappointing answer as hell, but like I didn't ask. I was so like over the moon about it. I was like, oh yeah, let's do this. And I just didn't ask that question.
You just found it online or probably?
I suppose online. They had seen my stuff somewhere. She said, we're interested in your leather work and lingerie for this shoot. And I was like, holy crap. I was like, no way. And I'm sorry to disappoint you with my lackluster answer for that question, but
I have a question that's not lackluster. And so what kind of measurements does Gal Gadot have? She's going to be just so thin. It's ridiculous.
Measurements.
Size 6 leather pants is what she wore. She's tall, you know, and my leather pants are also, they're stretched. So they stretch out and, you know, back in, they retract. So like, I don't know how, I wasn't even actually at the shoot. I'll admit, like, I wish I could have been a little bit more powerful in the negotiations on the situation, but either way, I don't care because it's like, at the end of the day, this is something that I have in my wheelhouse and I'm in love with it forever. So
right,
yeah, she was a 6.
No, I thought she'd be size 1 or something. You're saying she's a size 6?
No.
Well, Gal Gadot has like hips, you know.
Right.
Yeah, I would say. Oh. And if I might add, that window that it was displayed in was what used to be the Hollywood Property Owners Alliance, now the Hollywood Partnership. And I'm still working with them. Interjected inappropriately. I just really want to share.
Yeah, the display I was talking about earlier, where I'm like, that's where your stuff should be. That's where your stuff should be.
Well, I've recently done the overhaul redesign of all their street team uniforms. I don't know if you see the people with the red berets and the polos around town.
That's great.
Have you seen those? That was me. So the clean team and the new hospitality street teams for the Hollywood Partnership, which is the transformed Hollywood property owners. That very window space is that business right there that is the Hollywood Partnership now. And I like recently, that's a recent development in my design world. And even though it's uniforms, I'm take such pride in this because Hollywood, I love this place. Like, I've learned to be an adult and like a real human here and had formed real freaking friendships and bonds with people. And I love it here till death do I part. Like, I can't even, I'm so proud of that. Even polos it may be, that is like the most, one of the more proud moments of my career as well. Like being
Where did you grow up, Natalie?
Newport Beach, California.
Okay. So Hollywood was always this dream. I want to live in Hollywood. I want to work in Hollywood. Was that always a thing or no?
No, not at all. Actually, I had no idea about LA till I dated this guy. When I went to Texas for a year after high school, I was like, "Fuck all you guys! I want to see any of you at college. I want to meet all new people and have new friends." And I did.
Yeah,
but I dated this guy.
Hence the cowboy boots.
Yeah, exactly. Love boots more than I should, but so I dated this guy who lived in actually Studio City. And when I came out to visit him here a few times, I started to fall in love with LA. And I've lived actually different places in LA because I went to Texas, like I said, for my first year of college. Then I transferred back to art school at Otis initially here when I went to LA. So I was on the west side, downtown, and then Los Feliz, and then Hollywood. And I just, Hollywood, I don't know if it's the where I was at in my life that I was really starting to work and like develop my career, being that I was out of school at this time or what, but, or that I'm just grown up enough to have started learning different stuff about myself and emotions and relating to people. But, man, this community thing is like so strong in Hollywood, even if people think it's whack. I couldn't express even in words how much I am appreciative and how strongly I feel about it, because it's like, Whatever people think, who cares? It's like, I really don't care. And in fact, put it in my face. I'll just tell you to move back to freaking wherever you came from. And, you know, like, if you don't like it, get out. Because we love it here. I mean,
besides the leather, you're known for your lingerie. And it seems to me
that it's really hot. Like, it's really hot. Her lingerie.
I've seen. It seems to me you anticipated the pandemic. Because I think everybody should be wearing the lingerie, including myself. I think you got such, everybody works at home now.
So you're they so right.
Lingerie, right? How did you come up with this?
Well, that is, I mean, pandemic aside though, that's hilarious that you mentioned it like that. It really came from like my work lifestyle. I mean, I was a bartender for many years when I was starting to develop my brand. So I would, or, you know, meetings even with my contractors that I had at the time for actual fashion stuff. But I would be like working in my place, run around, cooking breakfast, yada, yada, and doing my stuff at home. And then I'd have to run out to work at the Dolby or Wolfgang Puck or wherever I was working. And then, or go to a meeting downtown for my contractors and whatever. So I like to feel good about myself when I'm home, but also feel comfortable most first and foremost. But then, you know, it's this element of like comfort, and that goes back to what I said about you know, being comfortable in what you're wearing, because if you're not, kind of fucking it up, because I feel personally that we're all our best selves when we feel happy and comfortable and good in what we're wearing. So I am very much not a fan of putting people in things that they're uncomfortable with. So unless I sense like you need a little push, then I'll be like, try it. If you hate it, don't take it. You know, like,
we've all seen people in shoes that are two sizes too small, dresses two sizes
too small.
And even if they look good, it doesn't look right.
Yeah, the person can feel really uncomfortable. And I'm not outside of this either. I've definitely tried some shit. But I realized that, you know, the more I get into my element, I'm like, yeah, I just need to be comfortable. And I'm comfortable in a lot of different stuff. But some people have a smaller window for that. Just whatever it is, just do you is what I feel. But yeah, lingerie came from me working at home and wanting to look, I mean, there's no reason to look good. I guess it's just me feeling good in what I'm wearing, like feeling hot, feeling sexier, feeling good about myself, even though I'm doing irrelevant shit that has nothing to do with that. I wanted to bring the comfort of the clothes into a place where I could feel also sexy at the same time. So when I throw on some jeans with it or throw on some leather pants with it to go out to a meeting or to dinner or to wherever, you know, because you run all over Hollywood all day and night long. It kind of meshes itself together into this comfort and cool mix that you can work into a multitude of situations. So that was kind of the idea. And, you know, I got to be honest, it was harder to wrangle the quality control on that than it was the leather. Because I know how to do the leather myself as well. And I do know how to do the lingerie sewing. But that requires a whole another like mess of equipment and machines to like finish appropriately. So I still have that very much in my wheelhouse of goals, but like, it's harder to, I don't want to put it out there half-assed. You know what I mean?
Right.
It has to be like,
yeah, it has to be full quality.
Full quality, the softness, like the comfort of the fit, the appropriate fit in the appropriate places, and like, it's a lot to put together, but it still is very important to me. And in fact, you're right. Pandemic considered, all the more appropriate for time.
The thing is, I mean, we lost a year. I don't think I bought really any clothes, maybe a shirt or a pair of underwear in the last year. I mean, now I got to buy a whole new wardrobe.
A bit of weight, so I had to buy some new clothes because I went up a pant size. I used to be a 6, now I'm a 7-8.
See, you were Wonder Woman.
I was Wonder Woman.
That's okay. We're Wonder Woman. We can all be.
I will be Wonder Woman again. I will be a size 6 again.
I'm a fan of you still are Wonder Woman. It's okay with me.
Thank you.
I went out on Friday. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt. But I went out on Friday. I was trying to find some black pants. And like I had to dig in the closet, and I went out and bought black pants on Saturday because I was like, I got to have some fresh ones just in case. Black pants
are important. Yeah. A staple of every wardrobe.
Yeah.
Yes, I agree. Dang. I'm wearing them right now.
Yeah.
Jeans.
I'm wearing a dress I bought for my trip to Vegas. Size 7. Ooh. Nice dress. Very comfortable. But I'm coming for you, size 6. I'm going to get Wonder Woman size.
If you get down to a size 6, I'll buy you a Wonder Woman outfit. How about that?
Oh, hey. I'll wear it on the air.
Yes.
I also created a new brand in 2020, believe it or not, which is a crazy, like, other side of the spectrum thing, which is, like, it has the same idea, being that I couldn't, like, I haven't been able to wrangle all the materials and, not materials, more like the machinery to do lingerie appropriately. I'm doing this sports and athleisure brand called Loved Up, which I made up last April. It's only a year old, so.
You said love?
Loved Up is what it's
called. Loved Up.
Loved Up.
Okay.
Tell us about Loved Up. So you guys will have to check that. Loved Up came from saying, messing up saying that you love dubstep music. So it's like a whole like electronic element and like the vibes. It's kind of like a younger audience trying to reach out to the younger. I wear the stuff.
That sounds very cool and very marketable, to be honest.
It is very cool, actually. Thank you. And yeah, I wear it anyways, but I just think that it was kind of like an effort to like kind of make it fun for the times that we were dealing with. And it's very colorful, a lot of color in there, and it's just hoodies, like basics, mostly like yoga stuff, yoga leggings and sports bras, but cool graphic designs that I've been doing. And it's a fun, it is, add some fun and still creativity to my regimen of design stuff, if you will. So check it out. My repertoire, yes.
Well, let me ask you both, because I'm curious about this, because like I said, we lost a year, and I don't know anything. I mean, I was I always like to tell Nicole, I was on a podcast a couple years ago, and they told me what I was wearing was ridiculous, and if I wanted to get girls, I should go to Banana Republic. And get some skinny jeans and brown dress shoes. I don't know anything.
I believe what I said to you was, you won't get the kind of girls you want if you dress that way. Only dress the way you're dressed right now will you get the kind of girls you want.
Well, I don't know. So I did not get any skinny jeans or brown dress shoes. But I'm just curious. And obviously I'm kidding. And you're dealing with female fashion. So let's get off what I'm wearing. What in 2021 is going to be the trends in fashion?
I kid you not. I'm the worst fashion person. I don't give a fuck what people are doing. I kid you not when I'm literally telling you my mindset is wear what you like. I would never tell you that you look like shit or that you're not wearing the right thing or that, like, do what you want. Like, that is what fashion is to me. Make it your own. Make it your own. Do whatever. I really could care two fucks less. I wear yoga pants, I wear leather pants, I don't even follow trends, really. I don't, I mean, I'm sure I do, but I don't really care.
Well, that's like jeans.
I can tell you the trend for spring, but I don't know what summer is going to be yet. But right now, it started in fall. People are wearing leggings more, like the actual like Versace models are even wearing leggings underneath their outfits. So leggings and boots, like combat boots, like the ones I bought. These were like $107, but I got them on a cheap discount of $20 because I shopped at someplace smart. But on the original tag, it said $107. I'm like, oh, I can't afford that. Then I saw the other tag that said $17.99. I was like, fuck yes. But this is it. This is in right now.
We've all shopped at Ross, Nicole. It's okay.
I don't always shop at Ross, only for my shoes. I shop at Target.
Right.
Nobody's mad at that. I'm sorry, Mark.
No shame of going to Ross and Marshall's. It's all
right. No, Marshall's is dope, dude. On Hollywood Boulevard, I love that joint. Me and my roommate go nuts there every time.
Everyone loves this jacket, and they always ask me where I got it from because it looks so cool. And I always say the same thing. Target a really long time ago.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Mark. I feel like I keep giving you the worst fashion person answers. I that's really how I am, though. I really just...
But I mean, looking at your contemporaries, is there something that stands out that's becoming a trend?
Or is there someone that you are thinking is interesting right now? Is there anyone's line who's impressed you?
Oh my God, I'm gonna sound like such a dick right now. Right. I've been more interested in public service, I feel, lately than fashion. I'm so sorry. I'm totally botching the fashion side of this interview. I just ran for the neighborhood council board, so that's why I'm like. I will be really honest. I dislike the reason I have a business. I love creating fashion. I'm going to just kind of like not avoid that answering the question, but I'm going to answer it how I can best answer without being a bitch. So I think that the mindset needs to change a lot in fashion and a lot of industries for that matter. I'm a big fan of treating people right and appropriately and paying them for that matter, especially if they're working for you and I don't have any help because I can't afford to pay somebody. Okay. That's how I have to deal with it because I'm not going to exploit people for free work. It's rude. It's asshole-ish. So, and it's wrong. It's honestly wrong. And a lot of places of business, restaurants, anywhere you can think of will get as much as they can out of people, make them scared of losing their job or whatever, just so they'll stick around and take the abuse of you're working for them. You need to get paid. And so I dislike the fashion industry, and it's because I know of the fashion industry. I don't like it at all, really. I don't have a lot of respect for it because of the fact that below the trends, behind the trends and all that, I know there's so many businesses that A, outsource when it's not even appropriate or necessary, B, don't pay their people appropriately and overwork them immensely. And, you know, it's not a good look. I think that it's not sustainable in any way to like run a ship like that. All your people are going to drown or die or jump off your fucking boat because they hate their lives. And that's not cool. You know, I built this business. I'm building businesses because I want to have it's hard as fuck. I'll tell you that, to not do it the way that everyone thinks you should do it and everyone cuts corners to do it. But I really just want to make an environment that people are happy and able to work in and have a family life and a home life and balanced life. Like, you know, people should be able to be happy and do their best work while not being run into the damn ground over it. You know, like, it's like really not appropriate how they treat people in the workplace these days in many, 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 many industries, not just fashion.
I was going to say, welcome to the United States.
Sorry.
I was going to say, welcome to the United States.
I know. It's really unfortunate. And like I said, I've always said I'd rather if my success cannot happen the way, to me, success isn't necessarily quantifiable by just money in and of itself. It's by the people, by the team that you put together, by the name that you've built, and by the respect that you have from the people that know your work. So I don't think that I'd rather just fucking bartend if I have to like be this same as everybody else thing. If I can't find financial stability, at least through doing it how I'm going to do it, I want to do it. I would rather just bartend, honestly, at a place that will pay me, because I think it's really disappointing how things are run. And I would love, my dream is really to have a fashion house in Los Angeles that can do the whole thing. And I can make sure that people are treated appropriately and paid appropriately and appreciated for their skill and their craft. You don't just put people who don't know what they're doing. You get people, you take the time and you learn who's good at what they're doing, and you grab those people and you treat them nice, you know? So they want to stay and work for that company. And I think that's what inspires me the most about it, is really people. Like, fashion can shove it for all I give a shit. I mean, I really love creating it because I think it's a way to reach the masses and be influential, because a lot of people are looking at fashion, like you said, trends and all that. So if I can somehow harness the power of influence that fashion has into something that people will look into and be like, damn, that is a cool business, that they want to look into that, they want to model their business, like they want to work for this business, that's what I want. That's what I really, really want. That's my dream. So,
well, speaking of making a name for yourself, where did Manam come from?
Oh,
besides this palindromic,
exactly.
It rolls off the tongue. How did you come up with that?
Manam. So literally, I know this is going to sound silly a little bit, but I woke up from, I had been thinking about it for a while, but I wanted to pay homage or respect to my Romanian last name and family heritage. So I was thinking of words that it's the hand. The hand is mana in Romanian. It's kind of the same as some other languages, mano in Spanish. Sorry. So manam is mana and mana backwards and forwards with the greater than less than overhead because it's pointing out in either direction. Being that that is to kind of symbolize or describe that this brand and this business is meant to highlight the hand of the person, the actual hand of the craftsman, the hand of the artist or designer, fabric cutter, whatever have you, involved in the process. You know, life is going in this whole direction of machines and internet and non-human interaction stuff where I'm like, damn, this is not where I wanted to go, but hey, gonna find a way to innovate that somehow. But really it's about highlighting the hand of the person creating this, that they are paid and they're taken care of and they're doing a job that they love and are good at, for Christ's sake. There's a lot of really talented people out there that should be paid. Okay. So it's the hand backwards and forwards to highlight. Yeah.
Hands circling among each other. It's great. It's terrific.
Yeah, thank you. It's hard to keep, in the forefront of everyone's view when everything is going in an opposite direction, but I will not relent.
Has anybody mistaken it for the Mexican band Maná? Because it's very close.
I don't know if I've gotten that one yet. You know what I get? Oh, sorry. All the time is Maná. Do, 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 do. You know what? It's okay.
Well, where does the time go? It looks like you got a phone call. It might be Gal Gadot. But before we go, I have to ask you a question we ask everybody. And
yeah.
Except last week when we had a 13-year-old that was on the show. It wasn't appropriate then. But what is your fetish?
And you don't have to answer, but please feel comfortable.
You'll totally answer. Shibari.
What's that?
What's Shibari?
Rope getting tied up.
Oh, the tying of the knots and so. Oh,
Shibari, come on.
Sorry.
Where the fuck is Barsky when you need it? Huh?
I know. I introduced you to that stuff.
I mean,
my sister, and she went up to purgatory. She got tied up for the first time.
I do it every time. Yeah, it's fun as shit. It's so fun.
Now, does it have to be rope? Do you like electrical cord or like ties or anything else like tying yourself up with? Or you like,
that would
you
be
like,
open?
You
like
the, not twist ties. That's not sexy. That feels a little bit too trapped. Well, but maybe
I'm all for creativity. I don't want to get shocked while I'm in this situation, but I do love the way the ropes feel sometimes. It's really, it depends on the type of rope. But yeah. I could get creative. I'd try it. Try anything once, right? Mostly.
That's how I feel too. I'll try anything once. Well,
from the sublime to the ridiculous, it's an amazing story, and it continues. And I look forward to all the designs you are coming up with in 2021 and the future. And any, I can just imagine the runway shows you have in your future. Natalie, thank you so much for being on the show. Tell everybody how they can get a hold of you, and if they wanted to buy any of your products, where they might be able to get a hold of them.
Yes. Okay. Well, I'll make it simple. Thank you so much for having me. If you want, check it out my personal page at Natalie Yaru, which has links to all my various brands and anything else I'm doing. So I would love it if people would follow along there, because I'm usually compiling it all and filtering it out to the various accounts. So at Natalie Yaru, NATALIEYARU. And thank you guys so much for having me. This has been so fun.
It really has been. And Nicole, tell everybody how they can get a hold of you.
You can find me on Nicole6Books, all one word, at Instagram. And I have We even added the so our radio station is Renegade Radio, and now even Renegade Radio has become one of my clients in growing social media. So if you want your social media to grow organically and you want to have real fans find you, hit me up, slide in my DMs, and I'll tell you my rates.
A lot of people in sliding my DMs lately.
Also, today I worked on the first start of the new story. I am going to have a book called 19 out. That'll be my next, or not 19, sorry, 13 out. That'll be my next book. And I'm almost finished writing the 13th story. So I'm very excited about that.
Awesome.
Mix up 13 with 19.
I don't know why I said 19. I meant to say 13.
You got 6 more stories in there or something.
No. It's got to be 13. Even though someone said, in my culture, 13 is an unlucky number. Can you change the name? And I said, no.
Good.
What culture is that?
I don't know.
It's an unlucky number for everybody. It's Friday the 13th and 13 this.
Please,
and
13 this. Guys.
What was that, Natalie?
Can't please them all. You know, it's never possible. So,
unless you go to Goth Comedian on all social media, then you'll be able to. You'll be very, very pleased. You'll have links to my YouTube, my IMDb. My all everything there, and links to the show, and my Instagram, my Twitter, my Facebook. Follow me. I'll be in Las Vegas in May. I'll be doing some stuff around the county. Everybody.